was ready for this one today, for Top Text Tuesday, because last week was okay. You know, if you're okay with okay, then you know what, buddies? So am I. If you're good with just being average, that's fine. You know, that's who we are. But I'm, Colfax, I got to tell you, I'm throwing a challenge out there today. I mean, Top Text Tuesday, there are days, man, where it's like the old West. You guys are slinging it. You are bringing takes to me. You are bringing tough takes. And then there's some days you guys just kind of like throw out, you know, it's nice to be out here. You know, it's neato. I like listening to a sports show and texting my sports takes. But it's not really a sports take. Come on. So here's the deal. We're talking about Nuggets greatness yesterday. I mean, I think we all kind of agree. It's between Alex English and Nikola Jokic. We could argue that. David Thompson, though. It's hard to talk about Nuggets greats, and we talked about him yesterday, without throwing his name in there. Fresh Coat Painter South Platte doing it again. I got a signed David Thompson jersey. They will get it in a frame. It's not in a frame yet, but they're going to get it all framed up. It's going to look sweet for your man cave. I mean, we are decorating Hooligans man caves all over the world. I mean, it's a big deal. So I want you guys bringing it. I want you in this thing. I mean, again, we end this at 2 o'clock. Look at B-Rad already starting this thing off. This is what you do. You start it off 12 o'clock, man. B-Rad's setting the table. He's setting the tone. He says, are we broke? We haven't signed a free agent in 2 seasons, talking about the Rockies. Just sent Nolan and $50 million, which is deferred, to the Cards and somehow don't have the budget. Where is the budget? Sharing a tweet from John Heyman, the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment. So barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. As was just mentioned, of course, MLB Network. B-Rad brings a hot tweet, text. He takes the time to show me a tweet so I don't have to go search it. That's great work. And just when I'm trying to kind of calm down with the Rockies, no budget to sign Trevor Story? Huh? Barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar Trevor Story. I mean, the Nolan thing, most of you can't, but I can kind of get. They hated each other. Jeff Breidich, Nolan Arenado, they're not good. But Trevor? What did he do to you, Jeff? I don't remember hearing Trevor saying he wanted out just yet. So here we go, man. I don't know. I'm trying. Yeah, I'm a sports guy. We got the Rockies here on KFK. You heard the ad. It's, you know, it's controversy. Can they rise above all of it? I don't know. Not sure. But that's not encouraging. Boy, all right, B-Rad, starting us off, man. Well done. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, you want to get involved? You want to win the David Thompson signed jersey? It's not signed by Colfax, although that'd be sweet. It's signed by David Thompson. David freaking Thompson. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl like that. That's good. You like that. I always feel weird saying this name, but this is what you wanted. The light-skinned Jedi Master. I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for that or not, Colfax. Jokic would have to win a championship to claim greatest Nugget, but right now he's tied with all the Nuggets greats. What if he goes to the Western Conference Finals again? Nobody else has done that. Because Alex English is only... We've only been three times. English, Melo, Joker. If Joker does that again, are you willing to give him the greatest Nugget of all time? That was a fun game last night. We'll get into more details on that. I always like it when the spread is the bigger story in the game. I'll tell you what I mean by that in a moment. All right, Colfax, bear with me on this. I'm getting flack today from my Rams fans, my Rams listeners. I got a lot of Rams listeners that like the show. And I like you, kind of. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote on this one. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Now, most of you don't even know where I'm coming from this question because it's not showing in the standings yet. Do you agree with the Mountain West's decision to give forfeit victories over New Mexico to San Diego State? San Diego State and New Mexico were supposed to play in early February. They didn't play. New Mexico just didn't want to play. Didn't have COVID issues, didn't have anything to do with that. There were some injuries, but they flat out just didn't want to play. I believe it was in New Mexico. Now, a lot of you don't like the wording of the question because you are good with the forfeit victories, but you don't think they should count in the Mountain West Conference standings. It was against a Mountain West team, and they forfeited. So you won. I have a hard time hearing Rams fans saying you're good with the forfeit, but you don't think it should count. What? So let's see where the hooligans are cooking up. Again, thewholeshow.com, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Do you agree with the Mountain West decision to give forfeit victories over New Mexico to San Diego State? So basically, there's two wins that are not showing up. If you go to ESPN.com or anything like that to see standings, you're going to see San Diego State two wins less than what they really have, which is why they'll win the tiebreaker in terms of losses. 51% of the hooligans say no. 37% of the hooligans say yes, you agree with it. And 10%, I added this one specifically for some Rams fans that didn't like the phrasing. Yes, but the W's should not count in the conference standings. 10% say that. If you're going to give someone a forfeit, it should count in the standings. Here's where my take is on it, ultimately. Because, Colfax, what kind of punishment? New Mexico sucks, all right? They're a bad team. What kind of punishment is it to New Mexico? You know, you can't punish them for getting COVID. You can't punish them for that. You couldn't punish them, like, let's say tragedy strikes, right? A death close to the team. God forbid, like, a shooting or something just awful. Colossal happens with that school. Okay, that's understandable. But just to up and say you don't want to play, the punishment is you got an L tacked to your many L's this year. San Diego State gets the W, and that actually, now again, caveat all of this, San Diego State would win those two games, barring just an awful night by the Aztecs. Just a terrible time. So saying all of that, yeah, San Diego State wins those games, but just to give them the W's, I mean, it's absolutely bizarro land. I think that New Mexico, there should be a stricter punishment here. They should have had to reschedule it. That's the solution. The Mountain West should have said, New Mexico, you want to up and quit and you don't have COVID and there's nothing else, you just don't want to play, you're kind of injured. Okay, but you have to make those up. Or they just say no. Like, think about that. This is a Division I basketball team in the Mountain West Conference. You know, it's not a Power 5, whatever, but basketball is a little bit different. Still, a respectable conference. If you're a Division I conference, it's a respectable conference, okay? We just allow a team now, given all the stuff with COVID, we're losing games anyway. You just allow a team to just up and not play? To me, that's the bigger issue. New Mexico's not punished by this. They knew they were going to lose. They didn't want to go through it. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is backwards, man. It's a mess. And yet CSU, okay, COVID actually did affect their New Mexico game. They're playing New Mexico tomorrow. Just the one. Not twice, even though they missed out on two games. They missed out on Nevada, too. It just feels wrong to me. I'm not saying the forfeit, like, listen, it's not San Diego State's fault. If the team won't play them, I'm saying the Mountain West should have stood up at the beginning of this. As soon as they got wind of this, the New Mexico didn't want to play. They kind of go into this and say, you can't just forfeit. Do you have COVID? No. Did something terrible happen? Not really. Okay, you can't just forfeit. Well, we're gonna. No. I mean, this is a division. You're disrespecting the conference. You're disrespecting college basketball. Dude, if I'm in high school and my coach just up and decides not to play a team, can you even fathom that, Colfax? High school. Like, I know it happened with Utah State and CSU, and I talked about that. Like, you're just going to up and not play? And again, no warning. That was the big thing there. CSU doesn't care that they got a win. They wanted the experience. Steve Adazio's coached in, like, what, half a game? They wanted the experience. They don't care. That win did absolutely nothing for them. Okay, neat. How many games did they actually play this year? Four? Was it four? And they went 2-2? I something like that. Didn't matter. They're not playing for a conference championship. I think that this whole thing is crazy. And again, most of you are like, what is he talking about? Because that's not showing up. Colorado and Kevin Lytle has it out on the Fort Collins Colorado one today. To explaining it. Because a lot of Rams fans are like, oh man, if we tie this thing, if we can tie this deal, then we'll at least get a share of it. Nope, not the case. It's all San Diego State's got to do is beat UNLV tomorrow, and the regular season title is theirs. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it's a trophy. It doesn't matter because most conferences like this conference, you don't reward the regular season champ. Mountain West, I think most of the time, the regular season champ goes to March Madness. But that's where we are, man. I mean, this is a... I do agree with ultimately, forfeit, but the Mountain West should have never let it get to this, right? That's the main thing. Because now it looks bad. Now it looks like you're just tacking on two wins. And when you had a lot of time back in February... Look what they're doing right now, Colfax. CSU has played. They played Thursday night. Did they not play Thursday night? No. They played Saturday night. Saturday afternoon. They played last night. They're going to play tomorrow night. And they're going to play Friday. So don't tell me that you're trying to keep teams from playing every other night for four games in a row. You're doing it right now. You could have rescheduled something. Here's the other thing. While we're talking about getting creative... Hell with it. Just make San Diego State CSU play on Friday. The Nevada game does nothing. Winner takes the conf. That's it. I know. That would never happen, but I didn't think this would ever happen. I don't like the fact that it's going to come down to a forfeit. Colfax, I'm 99% sure San Diego State wins both of those games against New Mexico. They're that bad. San Diego State's that good. But this is basketball. I remember when the Nuggets were bad 4 or 5 years ago under Brian Shaw, and didn't they beat Golden State? Like twice in a season? They were like one of the only teams to do it. That was when Golden State broke the regular season record. And the Nuggets were like on two of their losses were to the Nuggets. I think they only, what was the record? Nine losses. And the Nuggets were on. So, I mean, anything can happen. I know it's the NBA, whatever. We've seen it. CU lost to Cal, a bad Pac-12 team. And they just went and beat USC and UCLA, the top two teams in the Pac-12. We're going to talk to Tad Boyle later on in the show. I just have an issue with it. I do. A forfeit means a win for the other team and a loss for the others. But I just feel like in this day and age of COVID where we're canceling games all the time, I would seriously have a sit-down chat with the whole program of New Mexico right now. It's not right. 19 minutes after the hour, big story of the day, Colfax. We'll get that out. It's big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The wholeshow.com is available for you to check this full story out. Pac-12 announces 2021 league football schedules. And the Buffs got a cool schedule, man. They got Texas A&M on there. Minnesota's on there. Guess who they're playing on September 3rd in Boulder, Friday night? They're playing your UNC Bears, Coach McCaffrey. That'd be their first game, right? That's the Buffs' first game. I would imagine, unless the Bears get a game 1 week before that, which could happen, I guess. But wouldn't that be something? That's Coach McCaffrey's first, maybe second game of his career going up against Carl Durrell and a surprisingly pretty good Buffalo team that we saw last year. Pretty good for the most part. Very short season, so unfortunately didn't get to find out a whole heck of a lot about how good this team truly can be, but... There you go. Now, I know fans are already kind of going to the, well, is that McCaffrey's clout? You know, it's like, they played him like 2 or 3 years ago, I think. CU worked him. I think the Buffs, or the Bears actually stayed in it for the first half. I think it was like 21-0, which for that matchup, Pac-12 versus Big Sky, is pretty good. And I don't think it was an absolute blowout. 20 minutes after the hour, Power to Play Sports poll question, how do you feel? Do you agree with the Mountain West decision to hand over the two forfeit victories? And if you do agree, then that's it. You agree with all of it. I don't. I think the Mountain West should have said at the beginning of all this, a month ago, you got to play. If not, you're in trouble. I mean, Colfax, you're disrespecting the conference. You're disrespecting college basketball. I think it's a big deal. Top Text Tuesday. Here's the deal. McLean has two. He could win the David Thompson signed jersey today. Unless the Hooligans step up and keep McLean from doing it. The rules of the game, if you're new to the show, you got to win three Top Text Tuesdays within each prize frame. And we just launched this one 2 weeks ago. Announcement today of the prize. McLean won the last 2 weeks. He could win today. So bring the heat. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Text KFKA to that number if you want to get in the mix. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Nuggets, Bulls last night. We'll talk to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. More on the Pac-12 schedule. Man, it's a jam-packed show. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. It is Top Text Tuesday. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Bring your best text for a shot to win this thing. I mean, McLean could win it all. You guys could keep him from doing it. Texter here. The Nuggets have a chance to be the next great dynasty if they can keep MPJ, Jokic, Murray. We can dominate for years. Most of the contenders right now are built to win now, but we built to win now and for years to come. Listen, from what I saw last night, I'm starting to see some hope there with this MP. Listen, I like MPJ. I've been rooting for it big time. But I'm getting a little skeptical at times. Kind of looks lost. However, we got a new Nuggets insider that we talked to on Friday. Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Guy's good, man. Not many people can get me off of my whatever I'm on. Whatever scent I'm on, man. Whatever take I'm stuck on. I've been kind of skeptical about MPJ's basketball IQ, but Harrison Wynn told us, and if you missed it, you can always check out our podcast, thewholeshow.com, that he basically said MPJ's learning how to not be a number one. He's always had the ball in his hands, all the time. The office has always been focused around him. Well, that's not the case. He's not even the second option, really. It's Jamal. Last night I'm watching. Well, here it is. Nuggets taking care of business. Joker was a monster. Let's get that out of the way first and foremost. We have to give him some respect. The best player in the league was a monster yet again.
Now Barton to Jokic. Steady diet of Nikola Jokic against Thaddeus Young one on one, and Jokic's left hand hook is beautiful. Murray back to Jokic and another dunk. That's 17 on the season and one. Put him in the dunk contest.
Marlo wants him in the dunk contest. Did you see that left-hander, though? What? How do you? You can't stop that. Once the guy is going up with his left hand like that, Joker goes 39 points plus 12, one turnover. That's so important, one turnover. Two blocks, a steal, 14 boards, and nine assists. Could not somebody have taken the ball once and just scored with it late? Didn't happen because Joker kind of took it upon himself. Remember last year when I said Joker stopped shooting the ball 13 times a game? 28 times. 17 to 28, man. It's beautiful. And this is without making a three-pointer. 39 points without making a three. Jamal, good game. 24 points. Michael Porter Jr., 17 points and 15 boards. Gets a double-double in there. Those two are starting. Joker and Porter are starting to figure it out. And if those two can get that right, this team is going to be lethal. I saw something last night. And this kind of goes to with what your text, the Jedi Master there. This goes with your text. Porter, what was the kind of the knock? Is maybe the basketball IQ. He goes down. He gets the ball. Not really a fast break. He's in the corner. He's the first Nugget to cross half court, though, with the ball. There's three defenders in front of him. He goes up to the three-point line. He kind of looks back. He jumps in the air. It looks like he's going to take the shot with three defenders on one. It's like nobody's even down to possibly get an offensive board. You're going to send everybody back. No, you're not even going to set up a play. He fakes the shot and does a quick little handoff behind him. And I thought, that's growth. There was another time when he has the ball in the corner and you think he's going to pop it. Joker calls for the ball, hits him on the post. Porter runs around, takes up the screen, goes almost around Joker in the paint, pops back out in the corner of the three-point line. Joker finds him, pop. Similar thing happened to two or three plays later, but it was on the free throw line extended. If Porter can read Joker, they're going to be unstoppable. If Porter can get that basketball IQ rolling enough to knowing where he's supposed to be for Nikola Jokic. So I'm thinking of Harrison Wynn's conversation. We'll have him back on the show on Friday. I'm thinking of that chat. And he's saying, hey, Porter, the main thing that I've noticed is he's not used to being a number one. He's not used to being a number two. He's not necessarily used to being an off-the-ball guy that's trying to find a shot. This isn't Gary Harris was so good at that with Joker. In fact, 3 years ago, it was supposed to be those two with the two-man game. Then it became Murray and Joker. Then Murray kind of became more of an isolation guy. Still can work well with Joker. If Porter can get that down, look out, man. He can fall on 30 points. Joker can do that, too. That's it. That's the growth. Now, you saw it against Chicago. It was a weird game. Talk about a weird game. Now, Nuggets were down by like five with a few minutes left. They found a way to get the... I thought they were going to dwindle. Another bad third period for the Nuggets. They were outscored 32-27. They had this game at hand. Bulls make the comeback. They get the lead. Well, the Nuggets do their thing. Joker takes over. Some big shots late. Here's the I'm trying to figure out who it was who had the it was Garrett Temple. Okay, so Colfax, let me set this up. Last night the spread was 4.5 points. Nuggets -4.5. So if you bet on the Nuggets, Nuggets had to win by five, or the Bulls had to lose by four, less than five. The Nuggets are up four. There's like 5 seconds left. The Bulls don't have a timeout. They go down, they throw up a quick three, hits the rim. Jamal Murray comes down with the board. There's a second left in the game. And Garrett Temple fouls him. Sends one of the best free throw shooter for the Nuggets to the line. Murray hits both. And if you bet on the Nuggets to cover the spread, you got it. Thanks to that last second foul. Mathematically, look it up. There was no way Chicago could have won that game. Even if they get a quick steal, by the time they throw it back for three, it's over. So that game's over. Temple fouls with a second left. Murray goes to the line. They inbound it. They just roll it in. They don't care. Game's over. But there were some happy bettors last night, and there were some furious bettors last night. 32 minutes after the hour. McLean is coming in, Colfax. He's trying to be the second Hooligan in the history of this Top Text Tuesday to win three in a row. Noob. He's the only guy that has done it. And this was before we were doing prizes, so he didn't even win for it. McLean's trying to take this away. He gets it today. He could win the David Thompson jersey. MPJ reminds me of that tall guy from grade school that never touched a basketball before in his life, but still makes varsity because he's a foot taller than all the others. MPJ would be a bad basketball player, but he's balled out. He's bailed out by his physical attributes and shooting ability. But see, what you just said, he makes him a great basketball player, his physical attributes and shooting ability. Is he the best, ball handler? No, but there's a lot of guys in the league that are just not known for their ball handling skills. They're shooters, they're jumpers, they're rebounders, and getting to the rim. Porter's starting to get better at getting to the rim. 33 minutes after the hour, Colfax, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Guys, I've been telling you about the chiropractic standard here in Greeley. I've Dr. Tyler Terry and Dr. Haley Harada, they've been taking great care of me, man. I love going over there. I'm heading over there today. I go about twice a week now. I started out going three times a week. Listen, if you have back pain, you know, shoulder pain, you're just not feeling right. You know, it's just not working for you anymore. It's getting worse. Well, it's not going to get any better if you don't do anything about it. I'm telling you, I've been through it all. I've gone to the crack and goes. I've gone to the places that try to say that they're just like a clinic. You know, it's basically the same as a doctor's office. I've been to all of it. So far, none of it's helped me like the chiropractic standard. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm over halfway there, about halfway done. And I'm feeling better, man. I still have some pain. Listen, it's not going to go away easily. But most of the time, I don't have pain. And that's a difference. That's the huge difference. Most of the time, I'm feeling great. You know, if I'm running in a 5K or whatever the hell it is, maybe the next day I'm a little sore. If I'm lifting hard or whatever the day before, okay. But for the most part, I'm not sitting in agonizing pain anymore. I'm able to run around with my kiddo, and I'm not hurting. And that's the chiropractic standard in Greeley. They have this amazing sense of preparation that goes into all of their visits and the approach, the way that they do it, man. I mean, I love it. And so many people that I hear just sitting in the office and walk away happy, saying, oh, some people are done, like their last day. And I'm sitting there and they're like, dang, I'm kind of bummed. I'm feeling great. I don't get to come back anymore. Like, it's nice to go. They're great people. And it's not a nerve-wracking experience. It's just one where they're really great folks. They talk to you about your day. You talked about your stuff. And they take care of you. They ask questions. That's the chiropractic standard in Greeley. 39 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle coming up. All they did was beat USC and UCLA in their last two games. I mean, I think we could all chalk up that Cal loss to an off night. Because now the Buffs are sitting at number 24. Crack that top 25. So we knew they were going to get in if they could find a way to do it. Remember when we talked to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs last week, Colfax, or 2 weeks ago? The Buffs are in as long as they don't fall flat on their face. Well, they've kind of done the complete opposite of that, finding ways to beat the two top teams in the conference. UCLA is sitting at number one still. They split with them. They split with Oregon, and they swept USC. So the three teams that are in front of the Buffs, at least CU has beaten at least one time. And in the case of USC, they beat them twice. Yeah, you look back at some of those games, and they got one more game left on the season against Arizona State. And we'll talk to Coach about that. That's in 2 days. But now it's all about just kind of holding on, setting yourself up, because potentially you still could get into that last spot or that third spot in the seeding. So it's all about seeding at this stage, but finding a way to get the job done against USC and UCLA was huge. All right, 41 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle, who, yeah, he's on his way to another March Madness tournament. They got to finish the season first and the tournament, but they'll make it. We'll be right back.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-five minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and yeah, I'm busting through these standings. I'm trying to figure everything out right now, but I believe the Buffs still have a pretty good shot, man. Which is just it's just crazy how these seasons go. But man, it's always an honor to get this gentleman on the program. CU Buffs head men's coach, head men's basketball coach, Coach Tad Boyle. Coach, first off, man, congratulations on a big win against UCLA. These last few games, it is just must-see television with your Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, we had a really good weekend, Brady. USC game on Thursday, UCLA Saturday, which was senior night. It was one of those nights that you're never going to forget.
Coach, what was that like for McKinley Wright? Senior night, a little bit different, obviously, for everybody. But, man, he went off. 26 points. He gets the Pac-12 Player of the Week, 6 assists, 5 boards on a big night for this Buffs team. Man, he was special, as he usually is.
Yeah, McKinley was not going to let us lose that night. I mean, there was just no doubt in my mind and his mind. But, you know, we've had 7 seniors this year. McKinley's just one of those 7. So it was a special night for him, but it was also a special night for the rest of our guys. And the only thing that was really disappointing to me is it wasn't a full house, which it probably would have been for the UCLA game.
Yeah.
And those guys didn't get a chance to, you know, to speak to the fans directly. I know, you know, it's on YouTube and everybody can go on and check out their speeches, but it's just not the same as being in the arena. And this year hasn't been the same without our fans, but hey, I'm thankful that our players get to play the game they love, and we've had 7 seniors who've had great careers, and they've been able to put together a pretty memorable season to date, but we've still got a lot of work to do.
Coach, on that same note, how important having 7 seniors, knowing that it's a strange season like this, knowing that, yeah, you don't get to pack the house against huge, huge Pac-12 teams, but having those guys, nobody's ever dealt with this, but having a mature group that really can help steer this team in the right direction.
Absolutely. It's been paramount. And I think the teams that you see around the country, a lot of teams that have young players are really floundering right now. And it's the teams that have older, experienced players that are having a lot of success. And so it means everything. And especially the fact that, you know, this group of seniors was part of last year's team who kind of limped out of the season. You know, obviously the rug got kind of pulled out from under us there at the end, like it did everybody. But, you know, we were not playing very well at the end of the season last year. So I think, you know, as we've come down the stretch here, I think those seniors said, okay, we are not going to let this happen to this group this year. We're going to right the ship, and we've done that. So, but again, we've got a lot of basketball ahead of us. We cannot be satisfied with where we are. And, you know, we had 2 good wins this past weekend, but those are behind us. And it's time to move forward. And, you know, we're going to have an Arizona State team in here that's hungry and prideful and very talented on Thursday night.
Yeah, I still got Arizona State, and then of course we'll see what happens in that Pac-12 tournament, which I think is, for me, Coach, I'm pumped. I'm ready to rock and roll. I know that's just going to be a battle amongst some great teams in the Pac-12. Coach, going back, I know it's never a good thing to go back, but what you guys did after losing to Cal, then the Oregon game was kind of it was back and forth. Ultimately, Oregon takes that game. I think there were a lot of Buffs fans going, "Oh, here we go. What's going to happen here late in the season?" I got to tell you, the way you guys pulled yourselves back up, beating Oregon State the following week or that weekend, finding a way to take care of the California teams. I mean, when you look at that stretch and how important, I mean, that's gonna be something for fans to look back on and say, man, this team could have hung their head against Cal, but just there's no way that was going to be possible.
Yeah, this is a resilient group, and it gets back to our maturity, it gets back to our leadership. You know, after losing that Oregon game, that was the first time all year, Brady, all year, all season, that this team has lost back-to-back games. So even when we stubbed our toe, which we've done a couple of times, you know, we stubbed our toe at home against Utah. We stubbed our toe at Washington. Again, we stubbed our toe at Cal. Sometimes people look at the losses and the wins, and they don't realize that sometimes the wins are really, really close. You know, Arizona, we beat them at home. It was a one-possession game. Well, at UCLA, we lose. It was a one-possession game. We win one, we lose one. Like, it's not just about the wins and losses. It's about how you play the game. And the Oregon game comes to mind because, yeah, that's a loss. People look at it. You know, you look at our season. You go down the games that we won and lost. You say, oh, they lost to Oregon. You know, we played really, really well. Defensively, we played really, really well on the backboards and played with great effort, and great toughness, and great emotion. We couldn't make a shot, and we lose the game. But it's, you know, you can live with that as a coach. You don't like it. You're not satisfied with it, but you can live with it because we played the right way. You know, we lost to Cal. I didn't feel like that. I feel like we should have won that game, but we didn't. And so it's how your team's playing. And right now our team's playing with great pride and great emotion.
We're talking to CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. We had the voice of the Buffs on Mark Johnson a couple weeks ago who mentioned that Oregon game. And he said something that you said along the same lines of, hey, that was one of the better nights of sleep I've had after a loss. Is that right? I mean, you felt that good about your team. And look how you followed it up.
I did, and it's again. Now, what I didn't say is I didn't get to bed till about 2:30 in the morning, so I didn't fall asleep right away. But once I was asleep, you know, I slept like a baby, and again, it was because now I still woke up the next morning with a pit in my stomach that we had lost the game, and you know the disappointment that comes with that. But the fact that you know I couldn't fault our guys for the way they played, and that's something as a coach, you know, and it's only happened a handful of times in my career where you lose a game and you're like, okay, we got the shots we wanted. We had great looks. We didn't knock them down. We really rebounded the ball well. We guarded our tails off. We just came up a little bit short because we couldn't make a shot. Like, let's move on. And we did. And again, Oregon State wasn't easy. They're playing much, much better now. People don't realize, you know, how hard it is to win basketball games in the month of February. And to do it convincingly and to do it consistently, it's very, very difficult because every team has got the same mindset that you have, is they want to get ready for the tournament. They want to be playing their best basketball at this time of year. And they know you as well as you know yourselves because the scouting is, you know, is so good. So, yeah, it's tough to win this time of year.
What I think's really interesting and worth noting, too, you look at the three teams ahead of you in the Pac-12. Well, you swept USC, you split with Oregon, you split with UCLA. And, Coach, I'm busting through these standings today, and I'll tell you, a week ago, I'm wondering, all right, where are the Buffs going to finish here? But there's still a pretty darn good shot that this Buffaloes team ends somewhere very close to the top, if not the top of the Pac-12.
Yeah, we can't finish any worse than fourth. And we could, you know, depending on how things fall, we'll see. We just worry about what we can control, and that is we gotta try to beat Arizona State on Thursday night. And the other stuff will take care of itself. But we know we're in the top four. We know we have a bye in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. We just want to be, again, we don't want to stub our toe again. And we got to play well on Thursday and beat a good, solid, talented Arizona State team. And if we can do that, then we can set our sights on the tournament, figure out who we're playing, and get the game plan ready.
Coach, when you look around the rest of the Pac-12, I mean, how does this year, I mean, it's a weird year for everybody, but I mean, you said it, it's hard to win. In this conference, there's some great basketball going on in this conference. Where does this team, this group in the Pac-12 stack up in years prior?
It's hard to say. You know, when you compare teams and you compare years, it's really difficult. It's kind of like asking a parent a parent of three which kid they love the most and who's better. You know, and it's every year's a different year. Here's what I know. You mentioned the upper half of the standings. I look at the lower half of the standings and a couple of those games we lost. And the disappointing thing to me, the only disappointing thing to me about this year, is the fact that I think we had an opportunity to win a Pac-12 championship and we let it go. And we had nobody to blame but ourselves. But hopefully that can fuel the hunger and desire that this team has to finish strong and hopefully go to Las Vegas and win a championship there, and then hopefully we'll play on from there.
Yeah, like you said, can't finish any worse than fourth, can get very, very close to the top there. But then we still have that Pac-12 tournament to go. So, Coach, I know there's a lot there. Cracking that top 25, congratulations. It's and getting the Pac-12 wins, getting the most in that conference side of it, it's been a great season. I know there's a lot of work yet to go. But, just thank you guys for putting on one hell of a season for us so far.
Well, I appreciate that, Brady. Hopefully we can play well down the stretch and make all Buff fans proud.
All right. Good luck, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. See you.
All right. That's CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. And so here's where we sit. They're sitting at fourth. They could leapfrog. They can jump over UCLA or Oregon. They could get into that top three. They could get into number two or something along those lines. But it's going to be tight. UCLA still has two games to go. Oregon still has a few games to go. USC. So the Buffs, man, they could finish really high up there. So, all right, 5 minutes after the hour, until the top of the hour. We still got another minute, don't we, Colfax? I'm losing track of my mind. Coach Boyle's a fantastic head coach. And the way it ended last year, I mean, the wise guys, the odds makers, they had the Buffs getting in. So, I mean, we don't really need to argue about that. The Buffs were going to get in, but there was still doubt, and they did lose their last five games of the season, including, well, not of the season, but their last five games, including a Pac-12 first tournament game. So, you know, there were skeptics wondering if they were going to get in. Well, now there's no doubt. They're a top 25 team. They have one game remaining. Yeah, if they lose to Arizona Arizona State, they could get knocked out of the top 25. But they're still going to, they can finish no worse than fourth place in the Pac-12. So that helps their standings. But I got to tell you, coming off of that Cal loss, 71-62, Cal's in the bottom of the barrel as far as the Pac-12. They're the worst team in the conference. Losing that game, I thought, here we go again. This Buffs team's going to fizzle out. They lose to Oregon, which Coach was 100% right. I picked the Buffs to win. That was my Thursday night special. They battled it out on the road, came up short. And you thought, okay, that, all right, that Oregon loss, would have been nice to overcome, win that game. That maybe takes away the sting of the Cal loss. But you find a way to beat Oregon State twice. You beat USC and you beat UCLA. You're beating all the teams that are ahead of you. And they split with Oregon. So it's a damn good Buffs team. That's the type of team I think is going to go pretty deep in this tournament. 12:57 the time. Second hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.